glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends. I'm your host, Donna Leland. And today we're going to talk about something we all can identify with, and that's suffering. Brittany Lee Allen is going to help us through that. She just wrote a book, and it's called Free to Weep from Moody Publishers. Thanks so much, Brittany, for joining us on Mark and Friends.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, you know, a great topic, and a lot of times authors will write out of their own experience. So where did this come from? Where did you see a need for us to think about suffering?
Well, I'm only 37, but I've been through a lot of different types of suffering in my entire life, starting from early childhood. And I also became a Christian when I was 21 and was in a church where there was kind of a little bit of an off theology of suffering. And also in my own heart, I really believed God was more of like a master kind of wringing me out through suffering, and not like a father who carries us and holds us in our suffering. And long story short, my husband and I went through what we now know to be spiritual abuse at our previous church, and it kind of surrounded around how we, or how I handled my miscarriages, and that I was just too, like I cried too much. I was too grieved, according to these people. And that kind of opened our eyes to a lot of lies that Christians believe, that we were believing about suffering. And so I really, it was kind of like a 7-year long journey till this book was actually ready. But the Lord just had to do a lot of work in my heart through the scriptures.
Absolutely. I know people can identify with that, where you're just told, okay, we're over this, right? Let's rush through it. You know, we've heard it before, so can we just get over it? And that's so painful and so hurtful to people who are suffering. Isn't it hard, Brittany, to find people who want to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death?
It is. And I think part of that is our culture here in America, where we just want to like pretend like suffering and death and things like that are not a thing, right? Mm-hmm. We want to protect ourselves. And so we're not used to walking with people who are suffering closely. We kind of want to keep them at arm's length because it's hard, right? Like, I'm not saying it's easy. It's really hard to weep with those who weep and enter into people's suffering. So I think when you go through something really, really hard, that tends to reveal the people in your life who are going to be those people that are going to come and weep with you and listen. And sadly, it's usually not as many people as we think.
It really isn't. I tell you, when the going gets tough, you know, the weepers, we figure it out who is really willing to be with there and hear our sorrow. Well, let's look at the life of Christ and his sufferings, of which he went through the ultimate suffering. And what can we learn from the Lord Jesus?
Yeah, that is like the main reason I wanted to write this book is every chapter ends looking at the life of Christ and answering questions about suffering through his life or through the lens of his life. And he teaches us so much. He's the man of sorrows, right? He is called the man of sorrows. So he was weeping all the time and rightly so, because God grieves sin and he grieves sorrow and suffering. And that means we should too, right? Yeah. So I think we learn how to suffer well by looking at the life of Christ. And it kind of shows us that a lot of the ways that we think would be classified as suffering well are actually, they don't really line up with the way that Christ suffered. We tend to think about kind of pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps and not giving in to deep sad emotions, at least not in public. We want to kind of hide our pain and hide our tears and isolate. And I think part of that is because we don't want to be hurt.
Yeah.
But it really reveals just that many of us have this wrong view of what it looks like to suffer well. When really Jesus shows us that you can be deeply grieved and cry out to the Lord. I think about him in Gethsemane and how he went to God the Father over and over again in a short period of time before they arrested him. Like, he was going to the Father over and over in tears, sweating blood, deeply grieved. Like, he says that he is grieved to death. Mm-hmm. Like, he feels the weight of that grief could crush him. And yet we don't look at him and think like, wow, he looks really joyful. And yet that's kind of what we expect from people who are grieving. We kind of expect them to exude joy still when they're going through something really hard. And I think Jesus shows us that we can actually be deeply grieved, and that can be honoring to the Lord.
It is. It's deeply honoring, because this earth is painful, extremely mm-hmm. painful, and we will all suffer loss in many yeah. ways. And so to be able to function, we've got to deal with our own loss. And
right.
it's so harmful to us and others when we just want to cover it up, because there are things in my life even now where I don't want to think about. It's just painful. You know, children who have gone no contact and won't return text. I mean, every time it's a grief, you know, you yeah. have that stab. And so how do we function as we move through this world and still get those knives in our heart?
Yeah, I think we function by fixing our eyes on Christ, and really clinging to him, but also knowing that when it feels like we can't cling to him, he's clinging to us. I think about how he is our anchor, right? We have this hope that is like an anchor for the soul. The boat isn't necessarily like it's attached to the anchor, but the anchor is what's holding the boat in place, right? And so we can know that he is carrying us through, and that he is going to get us to the end, whether that be in glory, and we suffer our whole lives, or he gets us through that trial while we walk the earth. But yeah, I think fixing our eyes on Christ, knowing that he weeps with us, we see that in his life, in his examples in scripture. But one thing I was thinking when you were just talking a little bit ago is, you know, when we grieve suffering and the way that the world is broken, that is honoring to God, because it is his good world that is broken that we're grieving. Mm-hmm. And he grieves that, right? Like, he grieves that his creation is broken and is in bondage to corruption. And we are all going to rejoice one day when he frees this world and us from this corruption.
It reminds me of the scripture, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. So to walk with Jesus means we share in his sufferings. Now, we shared yes. in his sufferings on the cross when he died for us, but I also think that we share in his sufferings when, you know, the Holy Spirit is grieved. So
yeah.
the Holy Spirit is being grieved continually. So when he's grieved in me, I'm grieved for other people as well. And mm-hmm. I just think it's, like you said, we're free. We are free to grieve. We can mm-hmm. weep with those who weep. If he told us that, there must be people weeping, right?
Yeah.
And yeah. it must be okay.
Yes. Yeah. If the Savior wept first, then we know we can weep too.
Yeah. Now, why is it unhelpful and maybe even harmful to call suffering good? You know, work that one out.
Yeah, I think this is something that a lot of us say. I know I have said it in the past, and I've tried to work at kind of being a little more specific when I talk about suffering and the good that God is doing in suffering. Because when we just say suffering is good, like this thing that is a tragedy or this really awful thing that's going on is good, it points to the suffering rather than to the God who is good in the midst of the suffering. And so I think, like, even though that's like such a small shift in our minds, like, I think it can have a big impact on where we fix our eyes. And also it can be helpful, like, cause we don't want to make people feel like I'll just a personal example. When somebody would say suffering is good, as I was going through recurrent miscarriage, I was like, does that mean that I have to believe that the death of my babies is good?
Right.
And it's not, right? Mm-mm. Like, death is an enemy. Yeah. Death is God's enemy. And so we don't want to call, like, he's sovereign over it, of course, but we don't want to call that thing good because he is going to crush death. And so I think that that just slight change of focus can be really meaningful.
I do too. That is so good to tease that one out, because we know God is working together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So he's working it for good, but what they're in is not good. It's just not right. good. And it's, like you said, a part of this fallen world. So, yeah, I think that's so important. We are to consider it pure joy when we face trials of many kinds, because we know that in the end it will lead towards the perseverance that we will right. need to get through these really hard things. So I think that's just so good to put it out there and say, you know, this is not something God is doing to you. A lot of times people in a season of suffering think, well, is God punishing them? You know, why do you think that's so common for our minds to go there during our trials?
Yeah, I think it's so human of us to go there, especially when suffering lingers long. We kind of can be like, okay, like, what's going on? But yeah, I think there can be different reasons why that is kind of the first place our mind goes. But I really think that we have to remember that, yes, there is a time where, or there are times where we might be headed toward a path of grievous sin, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord, according to Hebrews 12, he does discipline us.
Yes.
And, you know, use suffering to bring us back to himself. And that is such a good thing. But that doesn't mean that every single time, you know, trial we go through is a direct result of our personal sin. And so I think just remembering that if it is, like, if we're, you know, headed toward adultery or we're yeah. in this habitual sin or something, like, God is going to reveal that to us and we will know that. So we don't have to be like trying to figure out this horrible sin in our lives that we don't know is there, that God is, you know, allowing the suffering for. We can trust that he's gonna grow us through our suffering, but that doesn't mean we have to be like focused on like finding some sin. Like, the Spirit will reveal that to us if it is something like that. But most of our suffering is because we live in this broken, fallen world. When sin entered the world, suffering followed right behind it. And so it is not always a direct result of our personal sin.
That's such an important point. I think our listeners really need to hear. You know, a lot of times we just consequence. Mm-hmm. You eat too much, you get some consequences that have to be dealt with. Drink too much, you know, excess of anything is going mm-hmm. to lead to a natural consequence, because that's just the way God designed it. But, you know, other than that, people need to make sure they're not giving credit to God for what, you know, the world, the flesh, and the devil has produced. Because
yeah.
that's not him. He's not yeah. creating this chaos in our life. Other people are, you know, as they choose to abandon us or choose not to, you know, be in our lives, they have choices. Other people yeah. have choices, and it affects us. Our bodies are broken, and that mm-hmm. affects us. Brittany, what is a true biblical vision of suffering well? What does it look like when we are suffering well?
Yeah, I think it looks like Christ. Yeah. It looks like how he suffered, and that, like I said, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but that's why I just really wanted to fix our eyes on him in my book in every chapter, because he teaches us so much about suffering. And I think, like I said, suffering well is, I mean, that's a very trendy thing that we hear. Suffering well can look like being deeply grieved, crying out to the Lord. That can be suffering well. We can honor the Lord in those things, because I think it's a quote by Spurgeon, and I'm not going to be able to perfectly say it, but he talks about how mariners say that there's like a, there's two different parts of the water that are going like different directions. Mm-hmm. There's these on the top, it's like really rapid water is going one way. And then underneath there's this just steady stream going the opposite direction. Mm-hmm. And he talks about how like the Christian life is like that. Like in suffering, we can have these, you know, grievous things going on, these rapid waters in our lives going one direction. But down below, we have a steady stream of joy in our salvation. And I think that's the key. In 1 Peter, he talks about in this you rejoice, and in this is our salvation. So in our salvation, we rejoice even as we're grieved by various trials. And so I think that suffering well can look like, hey, like our joy in our salvation is intact, even as we are weeping in our bed and struggling to get out of bed. It's holding to Christ and knowing that he's holding to us.
That is so true. And that's what I found in my own life. It's like, you know, when your brain starts to spin and go and rehash all the different scenarios and, you know, re-listen to your own recordings. And I just have to say to myself, but you know, Donna, you're saved. The Lord loves you. He has a plan for you. And keep praying. Don't waste your time just sitting there sobbing, although it's okay to sob. But,
yeah,
you know, it's like, why don't you use those tears for good? You know, it's like wasting your tears watching, you know, ignorant movies. And at the end of it, you're thinking, I just cried for these people. And they're not even real. You know, they're just actors. Like, that was a complete waste of tears. So it's good to use your tears for good. Yes, weep over people who you care about and you want to see walk with the Lord. And yet in the midst of it, you know, there's joy because we know he can bring things good out of all of this suffering. So I just think we need for people to hear this. I think this is a really very important message. And as the church, I just don't think we get it right. I think we want people to put their, you know, Nikes on and run through the valley of the shadow of death. That's what Jill Briscoe would always say. And we don't want them to walk through it. We want them to get through it and be done with it. And let's go back on and let's, you know, put on the VBS and let's have the Mother's Day banquet. But it's just, that's not the way we work. So how can the church do better to help people process these emotions?
Be spirit-led. Just individually, as we are meeting with those who are suffering, or speaking with them at church, just praying like through it, like, Lord, please lead me to what you want me to say when you want me to keep my mouth shut, because there's times where we need to just be quiet and listen. Show me practical things that will help this person, like bring those ideas to our mind. So I think being just really spirit-led, really prayer focused as we're meeting with the grieving and not being flippant about it. Like, this is a big deal in their life, and we want to like show that weightiness in the way we approach it. And yet other things that we can do as the church is having times of lament. Like, if we have prayer and praise nights or things like that, like, let's have a time of lament for things going on in the church people who are suffering, people who are suffering in the world, you know, different countries, things like that. I think just having that culture of like adding lament in, like we need the praise, right? We need the prayer, but let's add some lament in as well, because that's also a big portion of scripture. So I think those can be two ways that we can grow in this area as the church.
Yeah, I don't think we do well there. I think we want to put on the smile, paste it on, smile through the pain. We do not want to appear weak. We want to appear strong, and I've got my hand raised on that one. How does scripture offer us maybe a healthier, more truthful understanding of weakness?
Yeah. When I was studying scripture for this, the chapter that I wrote on weakness, I came to the part of Jesus, or the part of scripture of Jesus and the woman at the well. And I just had never noticed that the reason that he was at the well, I mean, obviously it was to do the work that the Father had for him, but it's also because he was wearied from his journey. And that is why he sat down at the well, and he needed water. And also we find out later, after he's spoken with the woman, that he had sent his disciples off to get food for him. So they come back begging him to eat, and he's like, no, this is the food that that the Father has for me, is to do his will. And that was, you know, speaking to this woman, that many would be saved. And I think that shows us that weakness is not always something that we should run away from. I mean, it's certainly not comfortable, right?
Yeah.
But God can use it. We tend to think that our ministry is going to be hindered by our weakness, but God can actually use our weakness to bring about ministry in our lives. And we see that as an example in Jesus's life, even in that story.
We've been enjoying a conversation with Brittany Lee Allen, and she is the author of Free to Weep, Finding the Courage to Grieve, and Embracing the God Who Heals. This is from Moody Publishers. Thank you so much for sharing your heart with us today on Mark and Friends.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been really sweet to talk with you.
Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends. We're a ministry of Great News Media. If you ever want to hear any of the Mark and Friends programs, it's available. Just go to our website and listen to MP3 format anytime you want. Thanks again. Have a great day.